Matthew chapter 17. This morning's message will be titled, God's Beloved Son. Our Father in heaven, as we come to you this day, we come to you knowing that you delight in your Son. Lord, you are satisfied with him, and you would have us hear him. Lord, as we come to you this day, we know there's voices coming to us from all over, from work, from schools, from televisions, from political views. But Lord, as we see this account, we do know that you will not share your glory, and that you have said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear him. So Lord, quiet our hearts and our minds today that we could hear the word you have for us. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. God's beloved Son. In Matthew 17, it starts on the Mount of Transfiguration, and most of you know this account where Jesus takes Peter, James, and John on top of the mount, and they're transfigured. And it's such a sight that they ask, as they see Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, Peter asks, Jesus, shall we make a tabernacle for all three of you? And if you look at the fifth verse, while he was yet speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Now, can you imagine the sight of this? Can you imagine being there and having... you ask a question to Jesus and a bright cloud overshadows you, telling you, no, you're not going to make three tabernacles. You're going to make one tabernacle unto my Son, and this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. We understand the love a parent has for a child, don't we? Most of us here are all parents, I think. We know what a love we have for our children. It's an enduring love. It's a love that isn't fabricated. It's not manufactured. It comes very naturally. We know as parents, the love we have for our children wants to see the best for them. Our love is caring. Our love is nurturing. Our love is protecting. Our love is providing. And you know something? There is no one in this world that loves a child more than his parents. You can't top that love. This love, though, often blinds parents to children's actions. They make excuses for their child's imperfections. It often blinds them to a child's flaws. It blinds them to a child's sin. Parents will often defend their children to a fault. We see this more and more as time goes on. Many parents aren't realistic when talking about their little Johnny or their little Susie. They tend to stretch the truth. But this is not the case here. This is God the Father talking about his only begotten Son. Jesus is altogether lovely. God's love is pure. His affections are honest, and what God says is true, because God cannot lie. This is God's beloved Son. And you know, we only have a relationship with God through his Son. And God only accepts us because of his Son. And we enjoy God's love through our relationship with Jesus. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. This morning, 1 Peter chapter 2, right before Revelations, Jude and John, toward the end of your Bible. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 5. It describes us as a spiritual house, a building unto the Lord. It says, 1 Peter chapter 2, 5 says, ye also, believers, as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices accepted to God by Jesus Christ. It's not of our own fruition. It's not of our own doing. We are only accepted in Jesus Christ. Turn to Philippians chapter 3, after Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. He says, "And being found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Jesus Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." It's the faith of Jesus Christ. How many of you have ever been assigned a project in school? Get in your groups of two or three, and you do a project. Well, who do you want to be in your group with you? I want the smartest kid that the teacher likes. Because guess what? I'm going to get a good grade because of them. In fact, they love doing the work, and I love riding their coattail, right? And this is what it's saying. We are accepted by God through Christ Jesus. It's not our own righteousness, but it's the faith in Jesus Christ. I have faith in that classmate to get a good grade, so I want to join up with him. I want to latch up with him. We are accepted in Christ. Have you ever had your children ask if a friend could come over? Then you tell them, next time you ask, don't ask right in front of them. But your kids, oftentimes your kids said, "Hey, can Johnny come over? Can Willie come over? Can Luke come over? Can whoever come over to the house?" They have friends over. Sometimes they come to your house. Sometimes maybe you go to eat. And sometimes you're even asked to go on vacation with a friend. You know, their friend, your children's friend, received the same treatment as your children. You say, "Sure, they can come over for supper. We're throwing some steaks on the grill for you. I can whip up Johnny a peanut butter sandwich." Do we do that? "Well, we were planning on going out for ice cream, but if he just wants to watch us eat our banana splits, he can come along with us." Is that how it works? Of course not. That isn't how it works. They get the full benefits and treatment as your children do. They come along for the ride. They go to Knoebels. They get their hands stamped. They get a slice of pizza. They go. They get the same treatment because of their relationship with your child. They're their friends. And Jesus is God's beloved son, it says. Jesus is God's beloved son. What does that mean? He's esteemed. He's dear to him. He's worthy of his love. He is God's favorite son. It also says God is well pleased in him. He takes pleasure. God takes pleasure in his son. He is delighted in him. He is fully satisfied in him. Now, we love our children. We love our children. But they're not perfect. How many of you have ever gotten irritated at your children? They misbehave. They don't want to listen. They're disobedient. Can you imagine having a perfect child? How many here had a perfect child? Can you imagine having a perfect child? Well, what do you mean? Can you imagine a child always doing what you ask them? Without huffing and puffing. Without stomping away. Without slamming a door. Can you imagine a child reading our minds and doing things before we ask them? Can you imagine a child always trying to please you? Can you imagine your child trying to please you? Can you imagine your daughter getting up on Saturday morning at 7 o'clock just like she does for school and coming out in the kitchen to, "Mom, what can I do for you today? Can I sweep the floors? Can I help you get breakfast? Hey, Dad, what do you want to do today? You want to go get some wood?" You want me to mow the lawn for you? I just want to please you. Do we understand that's who Jesus was? Turn to John 6. John chapter 6, verse 38. Now this is in the red letter, so this is words that Jesus spoke. John 6, 38. It says, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." How many of you have ever called for your children? "Hey, so get down here. Just a minute, I'll be there in a minute. I'm busy doing what I want to do." That isn't what Jesus did. He was always about doing the will of his Father. "Hey, get the towels down here. Get the laundry down here. I'm doing another load of laundry." "Well, just a minute. I'm almost done with my game. Just a minute. I want to sleep an extra half an hour." Turn to John 5. Chapter back. John 5, verse 30. John 5:30 says, "I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgments are just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me." You know, I can remember a few years back when my dad just got diagnosed with cancer. And I don't know. And most of you know we were very close. My dad and I never said "I love you" all the time to each other, but it went without saying. We loved each other. And I can remember when he was first diagnosed with cancer, I told him, "You know, I couldn't have asked for a better dad. No matter what happens from here out, I couldn't have asked for a better dad." And he gave me a hug and said, "I couldn't have asked for a better son. We got along great." But with that being said, we both knew neither of us were perfect. I wasn't a perfect son. I wasn't perfect by any stretch of the imagination. I know I did things that upset him. I know that I did things that let him down. I know I did many things that he didn't approve of. I did many things he didn't even know about. But Jesus was God's perfect son. Wouldn't that be very easy to love? Wouldn't that be very easy to be favored? God was pleased with his son. That's what he says. Have you ever talked to someone about their children? If they have multiple children, how are your kids? Who's the first one they usually talk about? The most successful one. The one they're most proud of. Not the one who's in jail or on probation. They want to tell you about the son who's got his PhD and he's running some factory and doing it. You know, some people only have one child. There's people have one child. You ever ask them about them? Their eyes light up. "How are they doing?" "Oh, my word, they got a new job and things are going good. And, you know, they just got married and they have the cutest kid you could ever imagine." You don't have to poke people and prod them like you do to get a... Have you ever done some investigative work on your kids? "Can I go to the game?" "Well, who are you going with?" "Well, there's a group of us." "Well, who's in that group?" "Well, so-and-so and so." "Well, is so-and-so going?" They might be. They might be going in with us. "Well, who's driving?" I don't know who's going to drive. They know exactly the details. You have to poke and prod. But when you ask someone about their kids, you don't have to poke and prod. They'll offer you information about them that you don't even care about. They'll talk your ear off, you know? And if they're ever, they talk about them as though they're perfect. And if there ever was a problem, it wasn't their child's fault. I can assure you that. It was the teacher. Well, you know that teacher. You know, it was the coach. "Well, that coach doesn't know talent for nothing. He doesn't know anything." You know, it was the other kids that were the troublemakers. My kid got in with the wrong crowd. My kid is the wrong crowd. You know, at work, their boss. Their boss doesn't appreciate them. You know, maybe it's their spouse. It's not them, it's their spouse. You know, their kids are brats, but you know that their spouse, you know, they don't have any discipline and da da da. Their child, like Mary Poppins, is practically perfect in every way. Practically perfect. Isn't that how they talk? Well, Jesus was perfect in every way. They could find no fault in him. Turn to Luke chapter 23. I don't think God cares at all this morning about us bragging about Jesus. I don't think God would be disappointed at all if you bragged to everybody about Jesus. This is his beloved son in whom he is well pleased. Matthew 23 says, what verses? Verse 14. Said unto them, ye have brought this man unto me, this Jesus, as one that perverteth the people, and behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man touching those things whereof you accuse him. No, nor yet Herod. They brought Jesus along, complaining about him, talking, saying all these things about him. And he says, you know what? I've examined him. And I've found in no fault at all in this Jesus. He says, if you go up to verse 4, it says, then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. Then he brought him to Herod, and he said, no, nor yet Herod. Could you imagine if they put it out on Facebook, anything you know about this person, just come. How would you like to run for office? Isn't that what to do? If you run for office, some office in the United States, they dig up all the dirt they can on you. You know, they examine Jesus for all the things he had done and all the things he had said. And they said, you know something? We find no fault in this man. None whatsoever. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Jesus said, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. You know, today we have, through the last 50, 60 years, many of you can remember 60 years ago, everything was legalism. Preachers and churches got accused of being too legalistic, making too many rules. Then the pendulum swung to antinomianism. Now there's no rules. The Spirit of God's leading you, so you can do whatever you want to as long as you say the Spirit of God's leading you. You know what Jesus said? I don't care what you think. I'm coming to be perfect. I'm coming to fulfill the law. The thing that you couldn't do and the thing that you argue about, I'm going to show you what a holy, just, righteous life is. It says, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. We went up to get our license renewed the other day, and I was getting my license renewed. And my wife went up for her real ID. And the lady in front of us, two people, she got in line. And the guy says, well, you don't have this paperwork right. You need this thing. And she says, well, what do you mean? He says, I'm sorry, you can't get your real ID without this. So they rejected her. So the next person went through, and then it was my wife's turn. And they said, are you with him? You're rejected. No, they didn't say that to her. They said, where's your this? And she showed it to him. Where's your that? And she showed it to him. And where's your license, marriage license? And they opened up and said, where's the bottom piece of it? She goes, I don't, what do you mean bottom piece? And they said, there's a stamp on the bottom with an eyewitness from the courthouse. She goes, I don't know. She said, but my name's changed. See, on my Social Security card, I've changed my name to his name. Isn't that proof enough? No, it's not proof enough. You have to come back some other time. Rejected. Jesus said, the earth won't pass away till one jot or one tittle. He qualified to fulfill the whole law perfectly. They couldn't find any fault in him. They couldn't reject him. He did everything perfectly. You know what he said when they questioned him? Turn to John 8. John 8, verse 46. John said, which one of you convinces me of sin? And if I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? He said, which one of you can point out a fault in me? Would you like to do that? Would you like to stand up here today and say, okay, just in this little small group of people who know me a little bit, do you know anything wrong about me? There'd be a fight to get up here and, okay, next, what do you know? Jesus said, which one of you convinces me of sin? What do you have on me? They had nothing on him. Turn to Romans 8. Acts Romans 8. Verse 3. Romans 8, verse 3. It says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak in the flesh. Our flesh was weak. The law didn't help us. We kept sinning and sinning and sinning. God, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. You know, we're in absolute denial. We're in denial. Do you know, if you ever watch a sporting event, they always go to instant replay. You know why they go to instant replay? Because there's a foul on the court. And the first thing the guy does is he goes like, makes a circle, and they rewind it. Coach, rewind that. I didn't touch him. So they take a timeout, and they get to question a few things, and they go back and look at the tape, and guess what? The guy who thought he was totally innocent did foul him. I didn't think I did. I didn't say that. Yes, you did say that. No, you did say that. Well, guess what? The law grabbed every one of us and said guilty. Police officer, I wasn't going over the speed limit. I have you right here on radar. Now they take camera pictures of you going through the red lights. So unfair. We have no defense. The law left us defenseless in that we were all guilty until Christ condemned the law through. He stood up for us. He said, there is someone. Look at verse 4. And the righteousness, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Jesus is truth and righteousness. Have you ever been one up by someone? You know what that means. You know what it means to be one up by someone? It's when you tell a story and they tell a better one. It's when you tell a funny joke and then someone has a better joke. You know what that's like. You have a funny experience and then someone says, oh, yeah, listen to this one. And you're like, okay. Well, your kid has accomplished something and somebody did more. It quite often happens when parents are talking about their kids. I watched a documentary one time on a family that had a couple kids. And the mom took the boy to a game and the dad took the girl to a game. And the boy come home, and he was all happy. He'd come home, and he was telling his dad, he goes, "Dad, I had 36 points tonight, at 38, most he'd ever scored against a tough team." And dad's just smiling, and the sister's just smiling. "You had 38 points. Wow, that's something. Why don't you ask your sister what she did tonight? What did you do tonight?" "I only had 105 points. She scored 105 points in a high school basketball game." Kind of put his story to nothing, you know? His accomplishments seemed irrelevant. Kind of like when we try to compare anyone or anything to Christ. This is God's son. This is Jesus of Nazareth. This is Mary's child. Can you imagine comparing anyone to him? "Well, you know, my son's an orthopedic surgeon. And he does hip replacements and knee replacements. And, oh, he gets people feeling great. You know, he went to school till he was 30-some years old. Now he makes a whole bunch of money, lives in a mansion. But he really helps people. He, you know, he makes them like new again." Turn to John chapter 5. Verse 5. "And there was a certain man there which had an infirmity for 38 years. 38 years. We think it's bad when we have to wait for a knee replacement for a couple months when it's killing us. This guy had a problem for 38 years. "And when he saw, and when Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in the case, in this that case, he said unto them, 'Wilt thou be made whole? Do you want to be better?' And the impotent man answered him, 'Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while he's coming, while I am coming, another man steppeth down before me.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Rise, take up thy bed and walk.'" How many here have a knee problem? How many here have a hip problem? How would you like to go to the doctor and say, "Sir, I have a problem that no one can fix, and everybody's in line ahead"? How would you like if your doctor said, "Rise and walk," and you felt like you were 10 again? After 38 years of suffering, that's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did. And you know what he said in Matthew 9:5? He said he can forgive sin just as easy as he can tell you to take up your bed and walk. He said in Matthew chapter 9:5, it says, "Whether it is easier to say, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and walk.'" You know, well, my child's an eye doctor. They do all kinds of eye surgery. They do cataract surgery. You know, those cataract surgeries, they're pretty amazing, aren't they? They make your vision clear. Cataract surgery. Oh, they do lens trans. They do all this kind of stuff. Turn to John 9:6. A blind man came to Jesus. "And when he had thus spoken, Jesus spat on the ground and made clay with a little spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay and said unto him, 'Go wash in the pool of Siloam,' which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way thereof, washed, and came seeing." Any eye doctors you know who can do that? No? Well, Jesus spit on the ground, made little mud patties, and put it in his eyes. You know something? My son, my daughter, they're into psychology. They're a psychiatrist. And you know, they deal with some very troubled people. Some people scared to be around. They work in an institute where people have to be put in jackets. and padded rooms. They're dangerous people that they work around, but they try to get them to function. They try to help them. Turn to Matthew 8:31. Or verse 28. And when we had come to the other side in the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, that no man could pass by them. Do you ever have a neighbor down the street and you walk down the other side of the street? When I was a kid, there was a lady on Honeysuckle Lane. And all the kids said, yeah, don't go by her house. She'll shoot rock salt on you. If you ride your bike across her lawn, she'll shoot rocks all on you. She's a crazy woman, you know? Well, back then, there's some crazy people that you didn't even want to get around. People were scared of them. And behold, they crowd out saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before our time? Isn't it amazing that the demons knew who Jesus was and the people he lived around didn't even know who he was? The devils were afraid of him. And there was a good way off from the men and herd of many swine feeding. A bunch of pigs were feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the swine. And he said unto them, go. And when they are come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down the steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And guess what? He left the men in their right mind. He didn't need any medicine. He didn't need any degree. That's what he did. You want to try to one-up him? Does any of you have any children that are EENTs, ears, eye, nose, throat doctors? How about anybody here trained in speech therapy? They use surgeries and techniques to help people talk and hear and devices. How many of you have hearing aids? Turn to Mark chapter 7. Verse 32. Mark 7:32 says, and they bring unto him one that is deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hands upon him. And he took him aside from the multitudes, and he put his fingers into his ears, and he spit, and he touched his tongue. And looking to heaven, he sighed and said, Ephphatha, that is, be open. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake. That's Jesus of Nazareth. Could you imagine going to the hearing specialist? They put the things on your head and say, tell me if you can hear this. Tell me if you can hear this. But have the doctor just put his fingers in his ears and say, be loosed. And you can hear again. Anybody know anybody like that? People go to speech therapy for years to try to get rid of their speech impediment. God just spit and touched his tongue and loosed his tongue. That's Jesus of Nazareth. That's what he did. You know, how many of you have driven around and seen people's bumper stickers that said, my kid's an honor roll student? Ever seen that? People put that on there to let you know how smart their kids are. Do you know one time Mary lost Jesus for 3 days? And look where she found him. Turn to Luke 2. Luke chapter 2. Verse 46. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple. Could you imagine looking for your kid for 3 days? And they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. They didn't have bumper stickers back then. My son debates with doctors. And he's only about 12 years old. Not to mention, he raised people from the death and on and on and on. You know, it amazes me that people like to admit or acknowledge they know someone who's famous. I remember years ago that Oprah Winfrey stopped and had lunch outside of Milton. Everybody talked about it. It was in the paper. There was people that waited on her. Oprah Winfrey ate at our place. You know, we have a couple retired professional athletes in our area. People are always saying, oh yeah, I know him. I know him. He's a buddy of mine. I know. Isn't that how we are? We like to admit when we know someone. Oh yeah, he's a friend of mine, that famous person. Why are we shy about our relationship with Christ? Why don't we brag about our relationship with him? Are you proud to know Jesus? God the Father isn't shy about his son. In fact, he declares his son to the world. Do you remember his baptism? Remember his baptism? Matthew 3:17, and a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. We already read Matthew 17, Mark 9. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice come from the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, hear him. It's repeated over and over in the Gospels how proud the Father is of the Son. This is my son in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. Turn to 2 Peter 1. They repeated after the event over and over again. 2 Peter 1 verse 17. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. And we have also more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, unto the day dawn, and unto the day star arises in your heart. I have a question for you. If one of these famous pitchers who pitched in the major league gave your son advice on how to pitch the ball, how to throw a ball, would you listen to him? Well, you say you'd be crazy not to. They made a living in the major leagues. They made $100 million pitching years ago. You'd be crazy not to take their advice. If Warren Buffett gave you investment tips, would you trust him? If Bill Gates sat down at your computer and tried to help you make your computer a little faster, would you take notes? You say, well, you're crazy. Of course I would. Of course I'd listen to them. I mean, look at them. They obviously know what they're doing. Well, you know what God says? Hear my son. Listen to him. His word is gold. You know, we're always influenced by people we admire. People read books by famous people and try to adapt their habits. You know, athletes say, well, I want to work out at Jerry Rice, the great right receiver, wide receiver, climbing the mountains, do this. Oh, I want to work at that like Michael Jordan. We try to pattern our lives after people we are impressed by. God says, be impressed with my son. He is worthy to getting to know. It's worth it getting to know his son. He is worth talking about. Have you ever been asked for a recommendation? You ever had a problem? You ever have a problem with your furnace and someone has a problem, they first say, hey, who's your furnace guy? Who's your furnace guy? Is he good? Is he reasonably priced? Oh, yeah, Pete, he'll take care of you. Oh, Joe's plumb. Call him one. I got his card with him. He's a good guy. He'll take good care of you. Hey, I'm having knee surgery. Who'd you go to? Did you like him? How'd the surgery come out? Oh, yeah, he's a good surgeon. You know, does anybody Google search people here? You ever do searches to check up on people's work? Yeah. Hey, where do you take your car? My car's making this weird sound. My guy can't fix it. Where do you take your car? Well, I take it down to that garage at the end of the town there. He's a good guy, but he'll take it for a ride. He'll know exactly what's wrong with it. We understand what it's like to recommend somebody to someone, or to ask for a recommendation, or who would you go to? This is God the Father saying, this is my beloved son that pleases me, the maker and the creator of the world. Hear him. He will take good care of you. He will direct you on the paths of righteousness. He will lead you beside still waters. He's a good shepherd. Don't worry about walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Fear no evil, for he will stick with you. He will give you the best advice. You can trust him. Will we trust God's recommendation? Will we trust God's recommendation? I advise we do. Our Father in heaven, as we come to you this morning, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for your truth. Lord, we see your son Jesus came here, took a burden of our sin upon him, and yet it doesn't seem to impress many, but it should impress the children. Lord, so many people talk about going to heaven and talk about what a joy it is. The only way they're going to get there is to become friends with Jesus Christ, to fall on your mercy and to cry out for your son. Lord, help us to be not wise in our own minds, wise in the world's mind, but help us to lean on your advice. Take heed and listen to your son. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.